16, and he said, if I cry and whine loud enough to Ken, he gives you tuna. No?
How much wine do you have?
I don't,
it might be about a week late.
Yeah, yeah. He said, I just told him I needed some. I cried and I whined and I cried and I whined.
Oh, God. All right, Richard, you can start whenever you would
like. Oh, well, already. So we'll call the meeting to order. This is a special commission meeting of the Port of Richmond Charter Commission, Tuesday, August 30th, 2022. Roll call. Danielle?
Larry?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Sharon?
Here.
Richard?
Here.
Joe is absent.
Okay. Are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
Conflict of interest?
No.
Okay. Motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve agenda as stated, written.
Second.
Okay. Motion second on the agenda. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. I have no public comments in front of me. Do you have any online that you know?
I did not receive any.
Okay. We have no action items. That brings us to information items, the boatyard building.
Okay. So their packet has been bought. Actually, I think every bit of it is redundant information that we have previously talked about at our meetings. We did give you another two pieces of paper. One is our port debt. As of July 2022, the highlighted areas are money we know that is coming, that's going to be out. The wastewater treatment plant matching, we know could be up to $700,000, and the RV park expansion and amenities. After our FEMA project, we know we need to set about $750,000 aside to make the rest of that RV park come true.
Can you talk in the mic, please, Travis?
Sorry. And then on the other page, it has the maintenance projects and planning for 2022 and 2023. It shows basically the list and where they're at. We don't have prices attached to very many of those, but it does show the outstanding maintenance projects that we do have currently that we're trying to get done. We have been doing the inspections of the building. I keep taking pictures about once a month just to compare pictures. There's been no change to the building as of this point. So we are here to decide what we want to do next. My opinion, if you guys still choose to hear it, we continue monitoring this building and keep looking and seeing what funding sources are out there, and or waiting until our new manager gets here and seeing what that individual can put together for us for something to look at. We just currently with our staffing, this would be a big burden for us to take on right now finding a new shop. It can be done, but it would be a lot.
So our challenge today will be to figure out what kind of configuration we'd like and what kind of amenities we want to have in.
Okay.
So that we would be able to have, because the design will probably fall to the contractor, right? For like a steel building, they'll do all the engineering and design work on that.
Yep.
Okay. So we need to decide then what we want it to look like and what we want in it.
Okay.
And I agree with you. I think this would be something that should be left to the new manager to take on. I don't want to do a whole lot of projects before that, but I also don't want to have that person hit the ground and go, well, you got 16 things got to be done by next week. So, you know, we've got to balance that.
Right.
I think for us to settle on what it is we're looking for would make sense, though. So we have an idea.
Okay.
So, Now, we've seen some of this kind of pictographs of what could possibly be down there.
If you look at 65 and 66, were kind of the previous area and roughly what they were going to look like, or footprint.
So the one I'm looking at here is, it's got a 45 and a 174 on it, on the page number. So it's a 60 wide by 205 foot long building, 16 feet high, and it's got two large bays and then five other bays. And then it also shows over here some other features, but I'd rather just focus right now on the storage building and the shop building.
Okay.
Would that be something like this one?
Yes.
865.
Just a general question, 16 feet high be enough for commercial boats, if any go in there?
How big is the door on the 16 foot building, 14?
14 foot.
By how?
16.
Well, it depends on what we want.
Whatever you want, but structurally it has.
Figure 14 by 12, probably, maybe 14 by 14. Those shop doors that are on our shop right now are 14 by 12. You can fit a boat in a trailer, you know, easily back into that. And the height, you'll be able to put anything you can tow down the road, you know, legally down the road, should be able to fit in there. The commercial boats, depending on what they have, they might have to take some stuff off. None of these, you know, they would all have to be on a trailer though to put in there. The travel is in there, obviously.
So do you remember roughly the dimensions of 1 and 2 on this?
1 and 2. 60 by 40?
60 by 40.
Actually, at page 66, he has it 60 feet wide by 80 feet long. Mm-hmm. 60 by 40, I think, is the same size as what our maintenance shop is. That we're currently in.
Okay.
So where would the restroom be on this one? Would it be like a separate building or what?
Or this one on page 65 does not actually have the bathroom in it. It would be something you would try and probably fit in number 7 there, closest to the road. Closest to the road is where you have the sewer connection being the closest. Page 66, it shows it as a separate building.
Right.
I would incorporate the bathroom inside,
right,
you know, a part of one of these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to look at the one with the 7 bays on it, so we would have then 4 storage bays, and then one of those would have a bathroom in it, and maybe a shop or an office or something.
Yeah, and you might play with the way that last building would look, you know, at the end. Just cut it in half and then cut it in half again, and use some of it to store port storage, and then one for a bathroom and lease the front of it, you know, half of it. The bathroom would only have to be, out of this being 60 feet wide, you know, the bathroom would only have to be 15 feet. So you'd still have quite a bit of real estate in the front that you could rent. You just put a small bathroom off the back.
Important maintain those bathrooms.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would.
So if we were to take that and take how wide are those?
So if it's
looks like they're 20.
40 by 100.
25 by 60. Well, let me see. two, space seven includes restroom, 200 square feet. I don't think this one was quite finished, but space seven would be roughly 25 feet wide by 60 feet long, and I would go 25, go out 20 feet, so you would still have a 25 by 40 space on space seven that you could rent, and then split that bathroom to either do a, like a storage closet, or maybe we turn, you know, utilize some of that room to put meters, electrical meters, any other type of mechanical room type infrastructure, you would probably be good to have a spot for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is if you split that in half, or maybe a little over half, and put two bathrooms, and then have the other one for where your all your utilities are, that's also closest to the road.
Right.
And then would you consider separate meters on each of these buildings? Or?
I would. Absolutely. I would make each one of them a lot like what we do with the retail. Each one of these units have their own meter. They're all individually metered. That way, when you have changes of leases, changes of people, this is your meter. You call the electrical company. You put the bill in your name. And it just isolates each building. One of the things that we constantly see here is something's always attached to something else. It's just like this big revolving loop. And the best we can do to isolate, you know, each unit, the better off we are staffing-wise and management-wise.
Okay, so for the smaller units, you think a 10-foot door, 10 by 14 door would work on that?
Oh, yeah.
Water meters, do you have separates, or is it just dang meters? For water.
Right now, it's just one water meter that loops into there. It's what, with this particular thing, I don't really like it, but I would look into sub meters for each one of these buildings. Just have one 2-inch main that comes in, runs, and then each unit would have a sub meter that then we would.
Why would we put water in them? I can see putting water in the two big shops, but I don't know about the others.
But maybe we don't put water in there. That's, you know, also what we're here to talk about. Maybe we put just an outside space, you know, a bathroom, and, you know, throughout that building, 1, 2, 3 spigots off from it, and maybe you don't charge for the water. It's just part of coming with the building, and you got 3 outside spigots that are used to work. We still have the entire rest of the dry dock area that all has water spigots.
Some people may want to think.
Some people may want to sink. I think if we provide it to a 2-inch water line, and depending on what those units want, water shouldn't be too hard to loop to a building that does want it if we start with some sort of main line. I have a feeling that a building this big, which we'd have to get into permitting and building, but we might be looking at fire suppression throughout the whole building as well. So if you end up with fire suppression throughout the whole building, depending on what we do, you might already have water to each unit
right.
Already.
Well,
maybe. It depends on what kind of fire suppression you go with.
Right. I personally think we would be well served to put just plan on fire suppression just for insurance purposes and all the other things, because, you know, you don't know what's going to be in these things. But we can obviously restrict some things, but you run a motorhome or a boat in there that's full of oil and gasoline or diesel, then I'd rather have some kind of a fire suppression system in the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Just design it right in and build it in.
I'm trying to think of what else.
I think you'll probably have to commercial building that size and a new build. You'll probably have to.
Well, the other thing would be what kind of electrical service. So I would imagine in the two shop buildings we would want to run at least 1-220 in there or whatever would support a welding type
of
operation.
By going to a meter for each one, probably from Coos Curry, we'd have to try and maybe figure out what the minimum service. You're talking that entire building could take almost, depending on how many things you're putting in there, a 600 or 800 amp service to be able to light this whole thing up, including the outside lights. You know, if we decide there's going to be outside lights, it's going to be quite the service. But each unit, your standard house is around a 200 amp service. So obviously, maybe we'd have to get an electrical engineer to tell us. You know, we'd just have to say maybe we put four 110 plugs in there and a 50 amp welding plug. You know, something like that in there and use that as a baseline. And if somebody else wants to come in there and they want more power, it can be done at their cost. But I think a baseline, you know, two plugs across from each other, front and back, and then a 50 amp somewhere in there. And then you would have one, two, three or four bay, you know, overhead lights that would come in and probably just call that good, give them the bare essentials what they need and make that tenant upgrade anything beyond what they want.
Well, I think if we know the tenants for sure that are going to be going in these units, we may meet with them and see what their needs would be also. So that even if they would have to pay for any upgrade, at least we could plummet and have it available at the time of construction.
I'm relatively certain that if you've got a shop like Kenny's shop in there, he's going to want drop down power. I don't know if anybody's interested in putting in an electric lift. I don't know what that kind of power that requires. But as long as we have sufficient amperage at the panel, and the conduits and everything are sized enough to get big lines,
and then
we'd be in business. Mm-hmm. And then, like you say, we can leave it up to them. And, you know, if he wants to put a boat shop in there, he can kind of design where he wants stuff to come down. And I wouldn't be surprised that somebody might be interested in that other unit besides somebody that owns a boat. You know, there aren't a lot of big spaces like that are going to be modern, and somebody in there that wants to put in a
I just had a meeting with somebody this morning that is looking to store Christmas lights. The Christmas lights from Azalea Park. You know, about to the north that's there. They have quite the, sounds like they're spread out all over the place. And it's because there's no big storage areas like that. So I don't think we would have a problem leasing these spaces out. They're just, if they need them, they'll pay for them.
We might even consider, or at least think that we design it in such a way we can add on more buildings if we fill them up and like we can add another one. You know?
Well, we've already got some long-term plans for the green building site for storage. My concern with this is that whatever we do here pay for itself, pay the loan, so we don't, you know, get stuck with that. That's job one as far as I'm concerned. We're going to take out a loan to do this. We've got to be able to pay it. And I think that's a pretty reasonable assumption, even on, you know, Gary put some stuff together on 70% occupancy rates, you know, and that kind of stuff. But I don't think we're going to have trouble.
No.
Doing these. I mean, even, maybe even crab pots. I don't know how, you know, how excited those guys would be about renting covered storage for crab pots, but if you built the door right, they could get in and out.
There's a demand for storage, and as our regulations here get tighter and tighter, and we keep changing and adapting to the DEQs, the stormwater, they will be looking for somewhere else to put their stuff.
So we probably also want to put floor drains in each of these, or at least in a couple of them, I would think.
Okay. Floor drains are going to become problematic somehow, some way. I don't know how yet, but they will be, especially in shops, grease, oil. Obviously, they're inside. They would probably be discharged to the sewer system, and we'd be looking at a pretty substantial.
If we built the storm drain right, or the center drain right, put a sump in it, and had a way to contain material before it went into the sewer system.
We could look into utilizing it in somehow, some way, the same way we utilize our boat wash system. to making a bigger boat wash system and setting it to a system that we're already using that's cleaning like materials, maybe.
Well, then...
The floor drains we'll just have to look into.
Well, that's where you run into, up against cost-benefit ratio, whether it's a good idea to do that or not, based on the return. They're not
built a building like a football field and let it drain out the doors.
But if you put a floor drain in, then would that leave us open to Harbor Sanitary actually collecting more fees on the unit?
Oh, they will, most definitely.
I was going to go back to what Larry was saying, that on page 45, it does show another option of more buildings.
Yeah, I think the original idea behind that was offices, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Not smaller. That was due to the high demand when we leased the Teal Cove Realty building. There was a lot of people knocking at the door for that, and that only has power. There's no water. There's no sewer that's attached to that. So. That's what hit that idea is small retail space that would probably fill up very quickly as well. Small space is really hard to find. Any space is hard to find here.
Well, for now, though, we're confining ourselves to the discussion about this shop building.
A needed facility.
So, how big are doors on the shop building?
They 14 foot high, 12 foot wide.
It's on your index.
At the bottom of page 65, there's kind of an index with the where the red is at on there. Those are the 12 by 14 doors. The green would be a walk-in door. The reason we went with a walk-in door is so you don't have to have electric openers to get inside the units. The two bigger shop spaces, one we know that Kenny would go into, and the other big one, I don't think we'll have a problem with either. I don't think we'll have a problem leasing any of these. But I do, you know, setting ourselves up for the wants that people might want, you know, such as bigger conduits, bigger water lines in there, providing those big infrastructure things. But if they want more, let the tenants do the improvements.
Thank you.
Does it make any sense to get like a letter of intent for people to rent, like have Kenny sign, yeah, I will rent it, and so if we have a written contract of some sort, then if he wants to spec some stuff out at his cost?
I'm not.
Just an idea.
Yeah. Kenny, from what I've seen, is here for the long haul. He doesn't look like he's planning on going anywhere. I'm not sure what weight that will have, but it would probably carry a lot of weight if we get to the point where we might be going to banks for funding, anything like that, where we might have to prove our case a little bit more with commitments.
If we have people sign commitment that we'll take that building at that price, the banks are okay then.
That might carry some weight.
Just like buying a house that you're going to rent. You have a renter signed, ready to go in there, and the banks say, okay, well, we know we're going to get money for.
Richard, the tenants that are already have leases with us down there, and then they move over to here, so then do they just move over there with the lease they have, or do we have to redo all their leases?
I'd redo all the leases.
Okay.
New leases, and you know, we have to remember, too, that when we go to build this, obviously everything's at a more expensive rate than ever, and that this might trigger a different rate lease than what we currently have.
We have to.
You know, if you look through our rates, I mean, they're based upon our current infrastructure and what we have, but if you put up something brand new, it very well might come with a new rate that we have to look at. I know a lot of the math that Gary was doing and stuff was based upon our current rates and what our income can be off from what we have currently, but as we got prices for metal buildings and, you know, what they could cost far more than what we have currently, far more than what we would be able, than what our current rates allow for these for. So instead of 50 cents a square foot, they might be 75 or 80 cents a square foot, you know, for that kind of a shop space. But that will come later down the road for our rate to see what we can do, which might change people's interest in how much kind of a footprint they might be wanting too.
Well, just tentatively, what I've written down here is that we're looking at a 7-unit building, 240 by 60 shop sites with 12 by 14 doors, 420 by 60 with 12 by 14 door, 120 by 30 with a door. Now, whether we're going to put in an overhead door or just a man door, I don't know on that one.
Yeah.
And then one 30 by 10 site for bathrooms and one 30 by 10 utility. Looking at this design.
I have a couple questions, or a question and some comments.
And then a 1,000 amp service. Okay. Go ahead.
If you build two separate buildings, you're going to pay more money because you're excluding one wall that doesn't need to be built. If you make the, if you go with page 65, those can be rented to the motorhome crew that is always looking for space to put a motorhome indoors. That rents for an easy 50 cents a square foot, or you can put a boat in there, especially if you can drive right through the whole thing. So I don't know how you're, you know, this gravel area, if that's going to be where somebody could drive a motorhome or tow a boat right straight through.
That is the idea. That I want to leave as much of this back as open as possible because, like, Kenny, Joe, a lot of these commercial fishermen, they're going to want to store stuff outside as well, and that happens a lot down there at that shop too, that I think we can easily lease some outside footprint for their outside stuff. So keeping as much of that open in the back for that kind of stuff.
The 60-foot depth, as shown on page 65, I don't think there's any question at all as how many people, there'll be people in line wanting to rent that. Just of the people that I know that have motorhomes. My question is, the original building that's down there, which has shown demolition, existing pole type building, and then FEMA is paving all the way around it. If that building is removed now, would paving be included? Would that be part of the FEMA paving?
Not the building footprint, no.
Okay.
Kind of, if for now, when we demoed that, I would just leave it concrete for now. You know, plug off anything, just leave it for concrete, and then at a later date, come in and put 2 inches of asphalt over it and level it up with everything else that is there and just pave right over the top of it. I wouldn't demo it unless they absolutely made us, but as far as parking, I would leave it until we had funding to overlay it.
Okay. So then we come to what type of building do we want? Our choices are steel building or pole barn, right?
Those are the ones that jump out at me, yes. I mean, we're not going to be building a CMU building. We're not going to be doing concrete prefab walls. So I think we're at a metal building or a pole barn building. Obviously, metal buildings are going to be more expensive. The concrete on the floor is going to be more because that's what's holding the beams and the entire unit up. So you have more work, dirt work, you know, and concrete to do. You probably have a longer lasting building with a metal building, more structurally sound, more expensive. A pole barn building, you know, wood, they're everywhere. People do it all the time. There's lots of shops and you're still covering the wood with metal. And it's going to be cheaper, but you probably won't have quite the lifespan. Maybe you might have the lifespan. You know, I know pole barns, wood pole barns still last.
You're still going to have concrete for the floor, right?
Right, but you won't have so much, you won't have as much concrete.
Always.
Where those big concrete or steel beams come down and they come down, the last one that I built, it was a pad 13 by 13 wide with the, it set in the middle and it was 18 inches thick to hold the, and we built the one that's in the elementary school playground, their covered structure there, and the concrete pads in that were pretty substantial. To where a pole barn, you're going to build everything, it's standing by yourself and you're pouring your four, you know, with some of these buildings, maybe you look at it 6 inch, depending on what you're putting in there. But a lot and more straightforward concrete pour.
Well, I guess we, you know, that's down the road. We could probably bid it either way and see what's happened, as long as we know what we want. Yeah, I mean, I would lean toward a metal building just because where it is, you know, that's a pretty exposed site down there and pretty nasty. But again,
but at the same time, what I have found when you go with metal, we have metal beams underneath some of our docks and stuff. It, the metal maintenance can be a lot as well. You know, just making sure rust painted, you know, it, I know a lot of the steel buildings now, they have pretty good products that they put out. Obviously, the price difference would probably be somewhere around twice as much for a metal building than a wood building. That's just a guess, you know, an estimate, but like you said, when we come down to it and we start looking at what we're going to build the lease cost, you know, how much we're going to be having to charge our tenants might play the biggest factor in what we can build to what's going to be affordable for us to lease.
I'm just trying to think of large buildings that I've seen built around here recently. I'm thinking of the Trust Building, and that's a pole building.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of Trevor's Auto Shop, and that was a pole building.
That's a metal building.
That's a metal building.
And he, I talked to him about that actually not too long ago, and he got his from some steel direct place. And they have these buildings that are like a discounted building, but he still paid $80,000 for that building plus about another $80,000 for it to be the concrete and slab and then whatever it else was to do that. But he said that he got prices for a wood building. And those prices, he wanted to build basically what he has on the other side. And a wood one came out to be around $65 a square foot from a local contractor here to do it. Mm-hmm. And versus his other one, he said it was about $105 or $110 with just the building. He said it doesn't include what he has in it. But so, and the quote that we got from the one contractor in Coquille with this, which was granted a way out there number, it was in the $180 square foot price.
For a steel building?
For a steel building. That's why the number that we you ended up seeing was over $2 million.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of, you know, the span we're looking at. I mean, a wood building, obviously, is going to be close to half the cost.
Okay. I like to say, as long as we know what we want, in it, then when it gets out, time to bid it, and they can say, okay, here's what I would charge you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming we would contract and have them do everything. They'd sub the electric and sub the water and the sprinkler systems and all that stuff. Okay.
Yeah, we would have to go to the engineering, get ourselves plans, construction drawings, let a general contractor look at it, and let him go. We'll find a contractor and let them build.
Okay. Anything else we need to talk about on that?
Good plan.
So then our time frame would be we'll have this kind of concept in our minds. And once we get a new manager in place, we'll be a little farther down the road with the RV park repair. We'll be farther down the road with both both the waste treatment plant and FEMA, and we'll be done, but we'll be closer to that. So we can then have the new manager was fitting this in, starting to look in more detail about financing, and then move forward. That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good to you, Ken.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else on this?
We'll just continue monitoring the other buildings, and if something comes up, we might be talking about this sooner than we want to, but I don't foresee that happening anytime soon. We'll just keep monitoring it.
Okay. All right. Bring the commissioner's comments.
Are we going to be meeting next Tuesday?
Yes. Yeah. Next Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is September 6th for the presentation with the wastewater treatment plant.
September 6th.
Your 10 a.m.
Jack will have a presentation for the type of building, the design, you know, what the design and kind of what it's going to look like, and the putting it in a possible location for over by the processing plant instead of over by the fuel dock. And we'll be taking a look at that. So if we like it and we approve it, that's what we'll be turning into DEQ for the permitting process.
Great.
For design and style of plant we're going to build it.
So Danielle, that meeting's at 10?
10 o'clock, September 6th.
Well, I'll be online, but I won't be able to see the design. But we'll probably have Jack's presentation before the turn.
We should have something, and if need be, I can also try to share the screen, because you usually use a computer or a laptop. So I'll figure out a way to share my screen or share some way for you to be able to see what's going on.
Okay. Well, if it can be downloaded off an email, I've got two computers, so I can download it on one and then trace the meeting on the other. So
okay.
That'll work.
Okay.
Any other commissioner comments? Commissioner comments?
Thank you, everybody.
All right. So that means then that our next meeting will be September 6th at 10 a.m. on the wastewater treatment plant. Our next regular meeting is Wednesday, September 21st at 2 p.m. And with that, we will adjourn.
Goodbye.
You said September 15th, right?
No, September 21st.
The wastewater treatment plan.